Today's daf is daf Chof Vav, and we're holding in the middle of the sugya of Harchakat Nezikin according to Rabbi Yossi, because we passed in yesterday Alib Rabbi Yossi, so that Mamela, the only thing that is up to the so-called Mazik to be Marchik is where it's Gira Delay. It's not Gira Delay according to Rabbi Yossi. Everybody does what he wants in his own property as long as it's part of the norm of how one lives. So we had some cases yesterday, and today the Gemara continues on the very top line. And the Beibar Merian is where we're up to. Says the Gemara, the Beibar Merian Bereda Rovin, Kavinavtsi Kitna, Havi Azla Rakta Umazke Inch. That there was a property that was owned by Bar Merian, and they would process the raw flax on this property. And as they would break up the flax, the pieces, which are the equivalent of the chaff on the wheat, but it's rather tough and hurtful, it would blow and would hit people. It would be quite unpleasant, and they complained, and they took them to court. So, Otto the Kaimi de Ravina. They brought them in front of Ravina, and he told them, Omar Lahu, well, remember that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, but ki amrinan moda Rabbi Yossi begirid delay. The only time that Rabbi Yossi was moda when it's his direct impact is hanemila deka azla mikocho. That's only where it's coming from the koach of the individual himself, even though it would be perhaps only groma, but at least it could be seen as his direct koach. Mashenkin over here, hochazikahu, it's the wind which is mantila. Because all they're trying to do is break it up. The wind blows it, and it hits people. So that's not considered to be gira delay, because it requires the wind. The mice is a little bit strange, because in the case that we had before, Libra Diosi, we said that even if you put down a ladder, if a nemaya could climb up the ladder right away, so it is considered to be gira. We don't say that it's, since it's koach achamurav, so to speak, that it's not considered to be his maaseh. So Tosus asks this problem and suggests that in general, we see in Baba Kama, that the chiyav of a bal chai, an organism that is moving, is different and more chomer than just koach achar me'urav bo, as we find with a wind that might grab something. So this is really a big sugya in Nezikin Bichlal, this distinction. But I don't know if it's kedai for us to go into it here, but you could see that there's different ways of measuring the idea of gire, and that even the idea of pent-up energy, which is the classic case of gire, where somebody releases a dam. Right? So over there, the Gemara makes very careful distinction between the direct impact of the water that flows over the dam, where over there it's the pent-up gravitational energy that he's releasing, just as he would release an arrow, or whether the water has traveled a bit downstream, where it's no longer utilizing his gearet. So here, too, there's enough nafkamina. We view a wind as something that appears and grabs, not something that is waiting to spring, like the nemaya. So you can understand that there would be differences in the way we would measure gearet on something that is already there and waiting to jump up on the ladder as he puts it down, than by a wind which is going to just take it now after he breaks it up. So Mamela, he refused in the court to paskin against them, and he did not issue a restraining order to the Bar Merian. Obviously paskining like Rabbi Yossi. So Matkifla Mar Baravashi was very upset and attacked this psak. And he said, Maishna Mizorev Ruach Besayato. I don't understand if you're calling this not his maaseh. And therefore, it's not considered to be giri delay alibid Rabbi Yossi. And how the heck do you explain the whole din of Zorah on Shabbos? What is the din of Zorah? You take the tvua and you throw it up in the air, and then the wind takes the chaff, removes it, and that's considered to be separating the wheat from the chaff. But you're not separating it, the wind is separating it. So by the same token, you should say that it's potter over there, and that there's that where we have a mechayev, a person for doing something which is a groma bi'alma in terms of Shabbos. Therefore, it must be that it is considered to be his direct action. This was the attack of Marvar of Ashi, and the truth is, Ravina didn't even respond to it. And, I mean, the reason he doesn't really respond directly to it is because, obviously, there's differences between the way a malach is defined in terms of Shabbat. If this is the actual act of the Malacha, then this is the Malacha Bakshava. And the truth is the Gemara in Baba Kama entertained that very question and said that you cannot compare Chiyuvei of Momon and Nezikin to the Dinim of Shabbos at all. Amrua Kameda Maremar, they said over this case of Bar Merian in front of Maremar, and he in fact paskin exactly that way. He said, oh, I would have issued a restraining order. Hainu zorev ruach misayato. So that would be literally geri, as far as I could see it. For the Ravina, even if, says the Gemara, Ravina doesn't see this as being directly related to Shabbat. But I mean, there are dinim of Nezikin to which it's similar to. Actually, it should be H. I mean, every H is like a kachak of the bow, no? And yet, and we pasuk that it would be chayim. So why don't we view this as a type of H which you are causing to other people, and therefore should be chayim? So that already the Re discusses here in the Tosfos, and the Re says it's not similar to the Eish because an Eish you have to first light, then you can have the Koyach HaKamurubo, or you have to put it in the position where now it's Eimin Al Rosh Hagag, so the energy is there now for the fall. But in the case where you have Liptov Liptah Ruach, so suppose you and the Ruach actually create the Eish, you would be potter. That's what this is similar to over here, because you don't give it any koach at all. But there is a case in the Zikin where if you are a smithy and you strike with a hammer, and that hammer now creates a spark that goes out and burns, so that's considered to be a direct hezek. So why isn't this exactly the same thing? This is essentially, the Tosfos understands the question to be as follows. When you are striking the hammer, so you're also giving energy because you hit it in that direction. We'll see the Gemara talks about it later, so that the spark should fly out. But here too, when you're banging on the pishtan, so you should be imparting some of the energy to the chaff that's going to go hit people. And the Gemara answers, it's not true because hata mechale de lezel. Over there, that's what he wants to achieve. It's not a din in nechale like we have by the question of whether something is considered to be a psikresha, the nechale or no nechale. Over here, the nechale, that's what he wants to achieve, means that he acts differently, says Tosfos. Uh-huh. If he's trying to avoid the spark landing in his own area where it could cause damage, so he's going to bedafke hit whatever he's working on in a way that forces the spark outwards. But that means that he's responsible for it going in that direction. Masha'in Kane, in this case, where he's beating on the pishtan, he has no interest in the chaff flying out and hitting anybody, and therefore he doesn't hit it in any particular direction or impart any force other than allowing the ruach to take it away. So since lo nechale de lezo, he has no interest in having it fly off, therefore we can't consider it similar to the case of Geitz HaYotze, and all that we're left with, according to Ravina, is a koach acher meurav, which is, in this case, not chayev, not for Eish, as Tosfos explained, and certainly not as Giri delay, which would be necessary, Aliba de Rabbi Yossi, and therefore he allowed the damage, so to speak, to continue.
The case of Gates had a wind also taking it after?
No, it doesn't have to be. But over here, in other words, because once it is that you impart the energy, that's enough. It's considered to be a direct test. So why aren't you doing that here? You're banging on it. So then that part you should be chayev on. Not only chayev because of the wind. Ready? Now we're talking about a field. This could be a field which is a tvua field, which is called the Ste Lavan, or it could be an orchard. But you have to allow sufficient distance between the two fields so that you could be working around the boundaries of the outermost trees and nonetheless not enter into the other person's field and then damage whatever it is he's growing there. And this din of Arba Amot is true about Echad Gefanim ve'Echad Kol Ilan, not to be confused with the din of Arba Amot, which was Nogea Kilayim. And you might have thought that we're talking about specifically once there's a din of four amot for kilayim, so then it would be true even if you're being marked a stay ilan from a stay ilan, not because of the kilayim, but because the basis of the shear of kilayim was specifically by a kerem, that you needed to have enough distance to work on the kerem. Okay, so maybe that was dafka vines. No, it comes along the mission to make it very clear, is that Tosfos understands the echod, because, I mean, otherwise, what's it nogea, especially if we're talking about two fields of trees, one next to each other. I mean, there's okilayim that would be involved. But just because we might have thought that in one issue, the issue of kilayim, we took the shir for gifanim, so maybe it's a dindafkin gifanim. Comes along the mission to clarify, this is a halacha that has to do with mazik, because if you're going to be too close to the boundary, your plow is going to end up invading the other guy's field, and you can't l'chatchila count on going into somebody else's rishus where you could cause him damage. However, If there was a wall between the two trees, and therefore you're clearly not going to be able to break through the wall, so then it's your problem. I mean, if you don't want to have to be able to work around your tree, that's nobody can fault you for. As opposed to somebody had planted a tree, and now the roots of that tree have invaded another person's field, and he wants to be able to plow his field without bumping into your roots. Well, he is allowed to be ma'amik shlosha tefachim. He can dig out those roots and rip them out of his field up to a depth of 3 tefachim, which is the shiur of the maharesha. That's how deeply the plow would be able to bump into them. And he has a right, kidei shelo ya'akev et ha'maharesha, to remove the roots of your tree. If Ayakofer bor shiahu ma'ara, if on the other hand he is digging deep for some other purpose, he's digging a cistern or a trench, he can do whatever he wants in his field, and he can cut as much of the roots of your tree that have invaded his property as he needs to. Kotzeitz v'yored v'etzim shalo. Now, it's not 100% clear who the shalo is. Is the shalo the one that's been working, meaning the one who's digging, or is Aitzim Shalom the owners? That the Gemara is going to investigate. Says the Gemara, we have a braita that makes it clear that the Arba Amocha Amru Kedei Avodat HaKerem, that the issue is over here, the area that you would need in order to plow up the ground under the trees that would necessarily take you into another guy's rishus if you're using a standard plow. Or Mashmuel Loshon El Beretz Yisrael. This is dafka necessary, that kind of full four amot, in Eretz Yisrael, where they used to use very large plows because the ground was mountainous and rocky and needed breaking up. But in Bavel, where the earth is damp and flat, they did not require that type of heavy plow. And so the plow over there only required shtei amot, and therefore would be sufficient to be marking shtei amot, because then there would be no chashash that you would need to invade your neighbor's territory. Tanya Nami Hachi. There's also a braita that makes that clear, because the braita says, Lo yita adam ilan samuk v'stei chavero, elin ken yirchik bimenu shtei amot. Now, are we supposed to understand a braita that says that the distance that you need to keep from the bottom of your tree to the boundary of the other guy's field is 2 amot, if a non-tan of our Mishnah clearly said 4 amot? El alav ked shmuel. Must be that Shmuel is right in saying that there's an afkamina between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. Shma mina. As a matter of fact, some learn, Iked Arami Le Mirma, some learn that Shmuel came up with what he said as a result of the kasha that we just asked. And Shmuel initially asked the kasha. The Mishnah says, "Tanan lo yita adam ilan." So mukhlestei chaverolim kirniyur chikmi menu arba amot. Hi, v'tanya shtei amot. How do you explain the fact that the brayta says only 2? To which Shmuel replied, "On Mashmuel lo kasha kan bebavel kan beretz Yisrael." Anyway, Rava Bar Bar Chana havelei hanu dikle amitzra de pardisa de Rav Yosef. So Rabbi Baruch Hanan had these palm trees, and they were right up against the vineyard of Rabbi Yosef. And as we've seen before, Rabbi Yosef was quite sensitive to birds, you know. So Havi Osa Tzipore, and so his beautiful palm trees were very attractive to traveling birds, who would come and sit down on the leaves of the palm, and Yatvi Bedikli, and then Nakvi Bepardiso Mafsidila, and then they would note the carom next door and say, oh, that looks interesting, and they would be Mafsid the carom, which otherwise wouldn't have attracted these birds directly. So Omar Le, so Rabbi Yosef once again demanded that he remove his palm trees from near his vineyard. Zilkotz, Omar Le, poor Rabbi Bar Rav Chanan said, but I did the halachic requirement. Archically, I stayed 4 amot away, and I'm not responsible for any more than that. Yeah, but the truth is that Tosfos says that it doesn't have to be Eretz Yisrael. He brings Raya's that there were places in Bavel that used 4. So depending on the place, that's how he understands the relation. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Yosef said to Vahani Mile Ilan Le Ilan, Ugefanim Le Gefanim, Aval Ilan Le Gefanim Bein Entvei. This is only if it's one tree to another tree, or one vineyard to another vineyard. But you can't bring palms up next to a vineyard, anybody knows that. Omar Lay, so he wasn't quite persuaded about that argument. So he wasn't going to argue with Rabbi Yosef. So he said, look, I'm not going to cut them down. You want to cut them down, you can cut them down. Because Ana lo kaitzana d'Omar Rav, I declare the toin kaba. If you have a palm tree that is not very productive, but it still gives you a one kav a season of dates, asur lemiktsari, you're not allowed to cut it down because of bal tashrit. The Omer of Chanina, lo shachiv shikhat bri, ela dekeitz ta'anata b'lo zimne. Rav Chanina said that he lost his son for having done such a thing, that his son cut down a tree too early. So I'm not going to cut it. I'm telling you right now. Now, obviously, if it was really a mazik, so that there's no iser baltash, so it must be that he... Look, if you hold that that's the din and that it's considered to be hezek, you could cut it down. I'm not going to be ma'ak of you. But I don't really buy into your logic over here. The Mishnah didn't say in Afkamina between one type of tree and another. Mar in Echalei Leikutz. If you decide you want to cut it down, please do. Rav Papa, Avalei Hanudikli Ametzu, the Ravuna Breda of Yoshua. Now, Rav Papa also owned palm trees that were up against the border of Ravuna Breda of Yoshua. And Ozal Ashkechedavi Kachofa, the Kokoit Sharashav. And he comes out one day and he finds Ravuna Breda of Yoshua is sitting there and cutting the Sharashim of his palm trees that were in the other rishus. Omalei, my high, what's going on? Omalei, what do you mean? It's a Mishnah. Tanan, ayu shoroshim yotzim l'tosh shachaviro, ma'amik shlosha kidei shelo yakev ha'makar isha. That's because the Mishnah said that I'm allowed to do this. If I want to get rid of your roots to depth, which will allow me to plow, I have a right to. Yeah, but that's three tvachim. I note that you're already 5 feet down. What's going on? Ani mele shlosha, marko kofar tvei. Omar le, well, you know the other part of the Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah says, barot shichino ma'arot, you can go as deep as you want. So I'm included under that category. Ana barot shichino ma'arot kachafarna. Ditznan, hayachofer bor shiachu ma'ara, kotseitz vioreit vayitzim shalo. So, I'm walking off with the wood too. Omer of Papa, sir, Papa said. There are some who learn, Tosfos learns that actually the whole argument was regarding whether he had a right to the wood. But wait till we get. So Omer of Papa said, Rav Papa, I'm relate. You know, I argued with him and I brought him so many riots that he doesn't have a right to do that. And I'm really kuli velo yachili lei. He didn't accept any argument. Odd until I figured one that will really get him. Ad the Amrilei had the Amr Rav Yehuda. Until I told him over what Rav Yehuda said, namely that a meitzar shehichziku bo rabim asur lekalkalo. So then he accepted it. Now this is a little bit strange. Rashi, the Maimer of Rav Yehuda, of course, is speaking about a meitzar. Remember, the meitzar of the Sada was a raised area that was just ground a little bit higher that they would put as a surveyor's guide. This was the place of the Sada. And that was a lot easier to traverse because it was up above everything that was growing in the field. And so people would often use it as a path. The din of Meitzar Shechziko Bo Rabim Bepash. This is a halacha that if the rabbin have started using this as a main thoroughfare, that you can't come back and claim it. Because once rabbin are koveya rishus over something, you don't have a right to be misalik. If that's the case, it doesn't seem to have anything to do with our sugya. Nonetheless, Rashi learns that the point of the sugya is that since the underlying logic of Meitzar Shehichziku Bo Rabim is that you didn't take a stand against the Rabim initially, so therefore what he was signing to him, Rav Papa, is that, look, I've been here for many years, you never said anything about it, and therefore I have a chazaka to be able to allow my trees to continue to grow by nourishing themselves from underneath your ground. Of course, that has to do with the machlokas we mentioned earlier as to whether there's a chazaka or a zikid in this type of situation. Tarsus is vehemently against this pshat, because the din of Rabim is clearly a din in Rabim. How in the world could he be bringing a raya from Rabim? And that would be persuasive. So that doesn't really make any sense. Therefore, says Tosfos, it must be talking about that it really was a Meitzar Shehichziku Bo Rabim. Not that he's comparing it. In other words, what had happened was is that the Rabim were using this area. The trees had grown underneath what was now the Rishus HaRabim. And he was digging under the Rishus HaRabim. So then he was coming and tiny. Okay, forget about the question of my trees. Who gave you the right to dig under the Rishus HaRabim if you don't have a right to go and to take it away from them? And that he was makabel.
The fault to take the board there.
Yeah, you shouldn't have a right to take it away from them.
And
the answers I've done more.
Well, we're gonna get to the answers. That's two completely different approaches to the rest of the sugya, depending on whether you're learning like Rashi or you're learning like Tosfos. So the Bata, the Nafak, when Rav Papa walked away, so Rav Huna says to himself, don't I always think of the right thing to say when it's too late? I should have told him. Amaylo Amrile, I could have told him that Kan betok sheshes reyama and Kan chutzu sheshes reyama is a big difference. There's a chazaka, maybe, the way Rashi learns, for the area which is betok sheshes reyama, because as we're going to see later on in our very sugya, which makes Rashi's approach very reasonable in terms of this piece, that there's a dafka mina, gentlemen. Too many people have their eyes gently resting.
In 4 hours.
That's right. So we'll see later on that the first 16 amod, even though we talked about 25 amod for a tree distance, or 50 if you're talking about a charuv and a shikama, but the first 16 amod next to the trunk of the tree are the essential nourishment of the tree. Beyond the sheshes reyamot, it's not essential, and therefore I could have tied it to him. The only chazaka you have is for the essential nourishment that was within 16 amot of your tree. But I'm more distant than that, so mamela I have a right to dig down. That's Rashi's approach, because there's no hichzikubo for things that aren't necessary for the tree. Tosfos learns, and the problem with the Tosfos is irrelevant, because we're not talking about the tree, we're talking about the street. So therefore, Tosfos learns, and it's amazing, that of course both sugyas have a shear of 16 amot. The din of Rishut HaRabim is also 16 amot. So Tosfos learns the din of Meitzer Shechziku Bo Rabim is only if you didn't allow the 16 amot for the Rishut HaRabim. But since over here I allowed the Rishut, they can't take as much as they want. Now I was already beyond the area of the Sheshes Reyamot. And so I'm allowed to be Mekalko, that area of the Rishut. Remarkable. It's two totally different sugyot. One has nothing to do with the other. And yet both of them are a shear of 16 amot. And this is the very daf that is the source of the din of the 16 amot later, which according to Tosfos is irrelevant. It's just a coincidence. We're talking about 16 amot for Shuzar Rabin. And the next one you talks about 16 amot for trees. So, okay? So, yeah, you see, it's a very, very different thing here completely. Now, there is, as I mentioned before, there's another pshat in Tosfos that the question over here was only Legabi his right to take the wood. But that, let's wait until we get to the Gemara about who gets the wood anyway. Yeah. Okay, but there already we're not makbid that it ultimately gets to the tree. There the question is the direct area that you're pouring. It has to be direct in order to become osur for Shabbos. Otherwise, we were never geyser. Yeah, it would have to be push it near. Even if afterwards it runs off, we're not chayish. Boy mine yako. Oh, so continues the Mishnah. Hayako fer bor shiachumara kotzeitz v'orei, but then haitzim shalo. Now, boy mine yako v'adaya b'Rav Chista. When you say haitzim shalo, who is the shalo? So who exactly is the pronoun referring to? Haitzim shalmi. Amar leit tenitua. Well, that we could see very, very clearly from the Mishnah Me'ila. Shorshei ilan shel hedyot habaim b'shel hekdesh. So here a guy owns a field that is up against a field of hegdesh, and he has a tree. So his hedyot tree grows now into the field of hegdesh. Now the question is, what is the din of the wood of the roots that was in the field of hegdesh? Says the Mishnah Halacha is, lo ne'anin v'lo mo'alim. You are not allowed to be ne'aneh, but if you were ne'aneh, you would not be over on the Isser of Me'ila. So in other words, it's not really Hegdesh, but there's a Gzera d'Rabbanan not to use it. As a matter of fact, according to the Rambam, you'd actually pay for it. You just wouldn't pay, you wouldn't bring a carbon Me'ila, and there wouldn't be the Chomesh. Now, yamid bishleim abataz ilan azlin and mishum achilo moalim. So, I mean, if you're going to tell me that hayitzim shalo refers to the owner of the tree, so then this makes sense. because it's not really Hekdesh, but since it's being taken from a sort of Hekdesh, the Rabbanan us are taking it, but Mila there's not. But if you're going to tell me that Haitzim Shalom means that the Eitzim of the roots belong to the individual in whose field they grew, and in this case they're growing in a field of Hekdesh, so then it should be completely Hekdesh. So E Amrit Batar Karka Azlina. So then why wouldn't there be Mi'ilah Mamash? Amaylo Mo'alim. So he said to him, no, that's Uriah Elamai. So tell me what you think. You think that it means that we go according to the owner of the Ilan, Batar Ilan Azlinan, so that you're not going to be able to explain the end of the Mishnah. Read on, Ema Seifa. In the inverse case, where the Hegdesh tree now is Ba'im B'shel Hedyot, also lo neni v'lo mo'alim. No, how are you going to explain that? If you're claiming that Ibatar Ilan Azlinan, you're saying that Be'etzem, the wood belongs to the owner. No, so in this case, the owner is Hegdesh. So how do you explain the fact that I lo mo'alin? So obviously, you completely missed the mark with your ostensible raya from the Mishnah. Me, the Iria, you think this is a raya. The Mishnah is irrelevant to the whole sugya. This Mishnah is talking about gidulim, correct? So it's gidulina ba'im li'achar mikan askinan. What we're talking about over here is that the shorashim are growing after the ilan was kadosh. It's not that he was magdish this wood. There was a tree. Now the tree over a period of years has grown out. No, but gidulim, there's never a din in me'ilah. That ain't mo'alim be gidulim. And therefore, even if it belongs to Hegdesh, there would be no me'ilah on the gidulim of the roots. In which case, this is completely irrelevant. So I don't know why you're bringing it up, Bichlal. All of this was part of the Kasha Elamai, right? So in other words, what do you think? You think that's a Raya? Elas Bichlal, not a Raya. In other words, because you're not going to be able to explain the Seifa anyway. So I want to show you that the entire approach that you had was wrong. That's the Midi-Ira. Normally, we do a Midi-Ira straight out. We don't ask. It's a little confusing. But the point over here is that he's leading up to a Midi-Ira by showing that it's an insufficient explanation anyway. And therefore, let's face facts. It's irrelevant. V'kasavar ein mi'ilah b'gidulin. Ravina amar. Ravina says, it's not a problem, b'chol, the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. I can answer that. Because, lokasha kan betok sheshesre ama. So the Reisha that says, that implies that you're going aliba, the owner of the Ilan, and therefore there's no me'ila when it grew in the soda of Hegdesh. Could you bop your next door neighbor over there? He's up enough to hear the word bop. So that's talking about where it was betok sheshesre ama, and those 16 amot we're going to ask how in the world we know this, but we'll get to that in a moment. So if it's betog sheshes reyama, so then einachinami, it's part of the living tree and necessary for the tree. So then it goes bus of the tree, which explains why there's no me'ila in that case. Whereas Khan, chutz l'sheshes reyama, the Seifa, was saying that it was a hegdash tree, and yet you're not moel. Why not? If you go according to the Ilan, because that was referring to beyond 16 Amot, and beyond 16 Amot, indeed there's no Me'ilah because it's not an integral part of the tree. I just say that's a little bit strange that we change the rules in the middle. I mean, why not just tell me the difference between yes Me'ilah or non Me'ilah? So Tosfos says no, because that's the whole point. It wants us to know that in either event, there would be still either no me'ilah, or there would be an isser of taking it, even though you might just say it shouldn't be usser either. So there's a chiddush in either side, and so therefore that's what we're focusing on. Here are two cases of ein mo'alin, but nonetheless ein ne'anim, and there's a chiddush in each one. So fine, you understand that in order to get the chiddush without it being a contradiction, we'll have to recognize that we're talking about two different cases. One betok sheshesre, and one chutzl sheshesre. And all of this is based on the distinction that Ula mentions legabi hava'at bikurim. Let's take a look at that. Omar Ula, ilan hasamuch lemitzav. You have a tree that's growing next to another person's field. You should know if it's within sheish esre ama, that ilan is a gazlan. Ve'ein mevim imenu bikurim. And you cannot bring bikurim from that tree. Now, there's two approaches. The Tosfos says the correct approach, in the end, he's chaylik on the other balik Tosfos. The correct approach is like Rashi. It's not that we're saying it's a gazlan and it's aser. It's saying that it's a gazlan and in terms of bikurim. Because since the Torah stresses asher tavi me'aretzecha. So that means that the growth has to be directly from the eretz of your own nachala. So even if it's not usher, because this was I was not there, but toch shali. So even if you hold it's not usher, nonetheless it isn't really growing me'aretzecha. And the Torah is only mechayev bikurim mi'artzecha. The other approach, which is that it's really gezela, and that if it's really gezela, so then Yakarish Baruch Hu is sone gezel ba'ola, which would explain why you can't bring it as bikurim, runs into tremendous questions of the shir. Because, I mean, even with 4 amot or 25 of them, I mean, that's the case would be. But what in the world would this be talking about? It's got to be talking about a case where you weren't doing it be'isser, as Tosfos is finally proved. Therefore, it's much more reasonable to say that even though it's not be'isser, but l'maisa you can't call it be'artzecha. So that was the question. Now, the shaila is, of course, where in the world do you get that from? I mean, what do we do? In these massive experiments to see how long a tree could survive within Shesh Yisrael, where would be the makor of such a thing? Where do you see that we treat Shesh Yisrael most specifically as the ikar nourishment of the tree, and because of that it would have implications, l'gabi shvius, or as we used it, l'gabi me'ilo, or the way Rashi was learning the previous case of Kitsitsa, that there's an afkamina, whether it's within Shesh Yisrael or outside. Now, I know what your first reaction is going to be. Your first reaction would be that the only place where the halacha directly addresses the issue of nourishment is b'nogea shmita. Because over there, the halacha is, normally you have to stop plowing your field before shmita, because we view any of the plowing as a hachana of the karka for shmita. So over there, the halacha is that a stay ilan you would have to stop dealing with at Shavuos. After Shavuos you can't, because it's no longer for this year, it's only for the next year. And a sadeh, there's a special halacha, a regular sadeh of tefuah, you have to stop by Pesach. But there's a special halacha, the famous halacha l'moshe misinai of Eser Netiyot. So Eser Netiyot, in one Beit Sa'ah, the Torah gives us a special din, that since these are now saplings that are growing, all of the work that's being done within that Beit Sa'ah is necessary for the survival and growth of these trees now, and therefore you can keep all the way up to Shemitah, you can keep working on this, because it's not for the benefit of the next year, it's for now. So there is a good case for defining how much nourishment a tree needs. Now, it's really not a perfect case, because it's talking about saplings, and there may be a difference in how much ground is necessary for a young tree to take as opposed to a large tree. But that's our first choice of where to look. So Ilema, is it because of the din of Eser Netiyot? Miritznan, Eser Netiyot amefuzarot betoch Beit Sa'ah, chorshin kol Beit Sa'ah b'shvilan, ad Rosh Hashanah. Sounds like a great mikor, in which Halacha Lomeshim Yisinai teaches us how much territory is necessary for a tree. So if you've got 10 saplings that are spread out, and have been planted evenly across a Beit Sa'ah, which is 50 amot by 50 amot, is the shear that it takes to plant a Sa'ah. Remember, a Beit Sa'ah is a measurement of how much it would take to plant normally one sa'ah of tefuah. But we're not talking about planting tefuah, obviously. We're just talking about the measurement of that area. So that if you planted trees across the area, these trees require all of that ground, and therefore you keep the ground moist and you keep it properly softened until Shemitah itself. Now let's analyze whether that equals the shiur of Ula. So if you take 50 by 50, what you get is 2,500 amot, square amot, right? So 2,500 square amot divided by 10, so if we assume that each tree is being nourished equally, is 250. So now, kama havilu, trealafim v'chamesh mi'agarmide, it gives you a total area of 2,500 amot. So then, l'kol chad v'chad kama matila, how much do you get per tree? 250. 250. Pooh! That's nowhere near what Ula is requiring. Because if we say that a single tree, according to Ula, requires 16 amot on every side, so then that would give us a square of 32 by 32, which is 1,024, and that's four times as large as the shear that's being given, that's provided to us by the din of Eser Netiyot. I mean, I obviously can't ask a question, because there's going to be less necessary space for a sapling than there is for a big tree. But it's still not going to be any raya to Ula. I mean, I have no idea where the Mekor of Ula would be. Halo havi de Ula. This is not going to be the shear of Ula at all. So this is not good. What we need to look for is a shear of fully grown trees. And then we can talk about a shear that may be similar to Ula. Okay. So let's take that case. There is such a case. We're not going to finish this today because it takes up basically the whole Lamed Aleph, but we'll start the sugya. So mid it's not. There is a nafkamina of three fully grown trees. And it says that if you have shlosha ilanot, these are full trees, which obviously are going to be utilizing more territory than the nitiyah is going to use. And these trees are spread out. They belong to three different people, and they're evenly spread out in an area of one beit sa'ah. So then, hare elu mitstarfim. This becomes a stei ilan, as opposed to a single tree. A single tree, you don't have the right to take care of the entire field. You only can take care of the area directly around the tree up to Shavuos, and the rest of the area had a din of a stei lavan, and it would only be plowable until Pesach. But if you've got three trees, then it's considered to be a sodeh, and you can keep plowing it all the way until after Shavuos, on an Erev Shavuos. And it doesn't matter who owns it, because that's not the point. The point is the nourishment. So they would be mitzarif, and you could be chirish, kol, beit sa'ah, bishvilan. You'd be able to keep plowing the whole thing. It should say ad hatzer. Okay, so now taking that as our measurement, kama havilu. How much does that work out to? Works out to, again, total area 50 by 50 is 2,500. So you have trei alfei v'chamesh mi'ot garmide. Okay, how much comes out as necessary divided by 3? We've got 3 trees here. So kama mati l'kol chad v'chad. How much comes out for each tree? Tamani me'av etlatin v'tlata v'tiltas. You've got 833 and a third that you're going to divide here for each one. Oops, still no good. Because Ula was 32 by 32. 32 by 32 was 1024, which is significantly larger than 833 and a third. So nafish lay de Ula. How does Ula come out of this claiming that there's a din of 1,000 and more square amot? Well, okay, Ula was just saying approximately, you know. I mean, Ula lo dak, he wasn't being all that careful. He's saying, you know, approximately 16. Ah, come on. I mean, who are you approximately 16? Ema amrina lo dak lechumra? I mean, where do we say that a person has a right to be loose with his figures if it's going to come out with a chumra? But if it's going to come out with a kula, namely, you're saying, well, you're potter from Bikurim, because it's drawing its nourishment. What are you talking about? It's drawing its nourishment. It's got 200 amot, square amot of nourishment that it's not drawing, and you're claiming it is drawing. And you're going to potter a guy from Avaz Bikurim based on your lodak? That's ridiculous. You can't be loose fast and loose with your figures if you're going to be ending up with a kula, but l'kula lodak mi'amrinan. Therefore, something is wrong with our mikar. Now, tomorrow we're going to take up the next obvious taina, that why in the world would we measure a square of 32 by 32? We're supposed to be measuring a circle that has now a radius of the 16. Exactly. So that's not, I mean, we're doing something silly that we're going to get to tomorrow and see whether we get any closer to Ula's figures. Tevei bar Marian berei de Rovin ki avi nafsi kitna avi azli rak tomas ke inchi otu lakami de Ravina omar lo ki amina mo de Rav Yosef begiri de lei but ani mila de ko azli mi kocho hocha ziku de ko mam de lei mat ki flam mar bar avashi maishna mizore veruach misayato an Shabbat omruach kamina mar reimba omar lo this is precisely zore veruach misayato ulu Ravina maishna mi geitz hayotze mi tachat apatish vizik over there. Because over there, nechle de lezel. Hochalo nechle de lezel. Loita adam ilan samuch listei chavero elim kenir chikwimeno arba amot echad gifanim evi echad kolilan. Haya gader benataim, ze somech lagader mikan, veze somech lagader mikan. Hayu shorashim yotzim letok shor chavero, maamik shlosha tevachim, kedei shelo yaakev et hamacharisha. Then you could be kotzitz v'yored ve'etzim shalom. Tana, arba amot sha'amru kidei avodat ha'kerem. Omar Shmuel lo shenu ala beretz Yisrael, avol bebovel shtei amot. Tani ami achi, lo yita adam ilan samuch l'stecha viro, elim ken irchik bimenu shtei amot, va nan tzan arba amot, el lav kedi Shmuel shma amina. Ika de ramila mirma. Tzan on the one hand, lo yita adam ilan samuch l'stecha viro, elim ken irchik bimenu arba amot, ay va tanya shtei amot, to which Shmuel responded, lo kasha, kan bebovel, kan beretz Yisrael. Rova Baruch Hanan Avelei Hanu Dikli Ametz to the Pardis of Rabbi Yosef and Avi Otu Tzipurei Yatve Bedikuli Venachte be Pardis of Mavsedelei. So Omar Le Rabbi Yosef Zilkotz Omar Le Varachikili Omar Le, no, that's only Ilanot to Ilanot, but Ilanot to Gifanim Beinan Tve Anam Tlan Echad Gifanim Vechad Kol Ilan. No, said Rabbi Yosef Hanimile Ilan li ilan ve gefanim le gefanim, but here we're talking about mix and match. Ilan le gefanim binan tve. Omar le, well, look, I'm not going to do it. The Omar Rav, I declare the toin kaba osu le miktsayu. Ve Omar Rav Chanina lo shokiv shikhat bri el the kids ta anata balo zimne. Mar inechle, go right ahead, leikuts. Rav Papa, avalehana dikle, ametsu the Ravuna brother of Yeshua. Ozal Ashkeche da Avichofar v'kokoy Shorashot. Omalei, excuse me? Omalei, what's the problem? It's not. Ayushorashim yatsin atok shechaviro. Ma'amik shlosha kedei shlo yakev ha-machresha. Omalei, yeah, that's shlosha. Mar kachofar tvei. Omalei, well, na'ana borot shichinu marot kachofarna. Detzlan yachuch ver bor shiachu me'ara. Kotzei tzvi yored v'ayitzib shalo. Omrev Papa, I tried every argument in the book. Amalek kule velo yachilele. Adi amalek, adi amar of yuna meitzer shechziko borabim, osu lekalkelo. Lebata de nafak, amar, oh, amar elo amrele, kam betok sheshesre amar, kar kutsi sheshesre amar. Hayacho fer bor shiachu meara, kotzeitz vioreit vay tzib shalo. Boi mine Yaakov hadayev amir of chista, et tzib shal mi, amalek tenitua, Shoshe ilan shel ediyot. Habayim b'shel ha'kdesh lo nehenim v'lo mo'alim. Se i amret b'shelam ha'batar ilan azlinan. Mishabachi lo mo'alim. Ele i amret batar karka azlinan. Amai lo mo'alim. Oh, he said, my, what do you think, batar ilan azlinan? So then ema seifa, shel ha'kdesh habayim b'shel ediyot, lo nehenim v'lo mo'alim. V'i batar ilan azlinan. Amai lo mo'alim. Midi, aire. The whole thing was crazy. We're talking about gidulina b'im lachrami kanaskina. And therefore, it's irrelevant to the sugi of Meila, because sovar ein Meila begidulin. Ravina amar lokasha, kan betoch sheshesrei amar kan chutz sheshesrei amar. Omer ula ilan asomach lemeitzar betoch sheshesrei amar gazlanu vein meviyam mimenu bikurim min aleilu ulaha ilayma meditan eser netiot amufuzarot betoch beitzah chorshim ko beitzah b'shvilan arosh hashana, which equals kama avilu trei alfin v'chamesh mi'agamidim. Then how much works out the kolchad v'chad kama matilei matayim v'chamishim? Nu, alo avidu ula. Ela meditan shlosha ilanot shlosha b'nei adam. Hare elu mitztarfim v'chorshim ko beitzah b'shvilan. So again, kama avilu in total trei alfin v'chamesh mi'agamidim. How much is it the kolchad kama matilei? Tumani mea v'tlatim v'tlata v'tilta. So it's still the fishalei the ula lodak. Me'ema de'avrino lodak v'chumra. L'kula lodak mi'amrinant.